This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you with a message today for the month of October of the year 2023, and it is taken from the scriptures found in the book of Numbers, which is in the Old Testament. Chapter number 22, and we're going to be looking at verses 32 and 33. And if you have those scriptures, we will find the words recorded. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." The title of this message, A Lesson to be Learned from Balaam. Now, the message for this month takes a look at a common misconception that many people, including Christians, make when making plans for how they are going to go about pursuing their goals in life. This misconception stems from the fact that they believe that no matter what it may be, God or Christ is right there supporting and encouraging them to go forth. And with that being the case, anything that comes up that tends to slow down or block them from that goal has to be from the devil. Now, the fatal flaw in this position is that if the person does not know God Christ personally, as they should, they could very well be attempting to do something that he is attempting to stop them from doing. The reason could be because God knows that there is a threat to them or their loved ones if they continue going down that path. Or the main reason is that he, God, sees them as attempting to do something that shows their defiance to him and his word. To get the picture of what I am talking about, let's look at the subject verses of Scripture. In them, we see that an angel of the Lord is addressing a prophet about his actions concerning his beating his jackass because the ass resisted his direction to proceed down the path that he wanted it to go. The angel told him that if he had continued down that path, which the angel was blocking, that he, the angel, would have killed him and spared the ass. Now, to capsulize this story, which starts at the beginning of this chapter, some men came to this prophet Balaam and wanted him to curse the children of Israel. Well, Balaam, at first, to his credit, seeks God's direction as to what he should do, and he, God, tells him not to go. Now, the king that sent them sends another group of men with greater authority and a promise to give the prophet whatever riches he may want. But once again, to his credit, he rejects being bribed to do what the king wants. The prophet tells them that he will ask the Lord what he wants them to tell their king. In verse number 20, God gives him, the prophet, specific instructions as to what he should do if the men come to him again. However, the next verse tells us that he goes and that he got up and went with them. Now, the thing is, there is no mention of them coming to him, which is not what the Lord said, which kindled his anger against him, the prophet. This leads to what happens in verses 32 and 33. In the preceding verses, we see that Balaam's ass saw the angel and turned away from him, while Balaam kept trying to get it to go down the path. He resorted to beating the ass for not obeying him. Finally, the Lord makes the ass speak to Balaam, and Balaam tells the ass that if he had had a sword, he would have killed it. Then Balaam sees what the ass saw, which means he saw the angel, which then leads to this particular conversation. If you will notice, this was a God-fearing man that God had evidently used in the past that had a reputation of being able to curse people. Otherwise, why did this king send men to him to get him to curse the children of Israel? So this man is quite close to God, evidently, because if God's going to use somebody, he usually uses them to bless people. So evidently the man is a God-fearing man, so much so that God's going to use him. Yet, in a moment of weakness, he evidently forgot or just ignored what God said, and as a result, set himself up for destruction. But notice, God set about to stop him at least three times before he took a more drastic action. Now, what does this situation have to do with us today? Well, if we look around us, or maybe look at ourselves, we will see someone who is so consumed with achieving their goals that no matter what happens that appears to be an impediment to that end, it has to be from the devil or from the enemy. And as such, we have to hunker down and push forward. It doesn't enter into our minds that it just might be, it may not be the enemy, but God who is trying to stop us from destroying ourselves. We might accept God doing something like this if, in this case, it was doing something that was going against God's moral principles. But we wouldn't think he would do this if our goals were morally just or good. However, if we look at it from the standpoint of disobeying him in any way, it is considered to be rebelling against him. then you can begin to see where the problem comes in. It makes no difference what it is that a person is trying to achieve. If God has said no or not yet, and you continue to push ahead anyway, you are asking for trouble. And somewhere down the road, you're going to get it. Now, this is one of the main things that is causing the mess this nation, and especially the black community, is experiencing today. In far too many situations, we are attempting to do things that, even though they may be righteous from our standpoint, the timing or the way we are going about doing them is bringing us into conflict with God. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 starts out telling us there is a season for everything under the sun. What this means is everything that we do has to have God's support for it to go forward successfully. If any part of what we are trying to do is not in God's timing or will, then He will put the brakes on it to either slow us down or stop us altogether. This is why a person needs to have a complete knowledge of His Word and Him, so that we will be able to see where the problem lies and respond accordingly. Is it Him, the enemy, or us? Only the Holy Spirit can reveal which it is and guide us as to what to do. You can go to St. John chapter number 16 and read verse number 13, where it says how the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. Now the question should be asked, just how did we get like this? To make a long story short, we have been listening to motivational speakers, as they are called. These are people who make a living getting people to pursue their dreams with vigor. That means, you know, be gung-ho and get all out there and go all out to achieve them. They tell them that the reason they are in the rut they are in is because they aren't doing what is necessary to get ahead. They are letting people hold them back by discouraging them. They are being made to feel that success is not for them. They should be content to stay where they are. Now, granted, there are people that will do this to you to keep you from being successful, which, if I were you, I would get as far away from them as possible. However, as I mentioned earlier, impediments to your achieving success don't always come from an enemy. Just like in this story, Balaam was determined to do something that God did not approve of. In this case, it was his ass that was holding him back, and for good reason. In our case, it more than likely would be someone who is sent by God to tell you that you need to stop or slow down. But if you have been indoctrinated into believing that anyone that is standing in your way to success is your enemy, then what's going to happen? You will take the message from God's messenger the same way and move them out of the way and continue on until trouble happens. Look at the black community in this nation. I can clearly see the result of going against what God has to say when it comes to someone like myself that doesn't fall in for all of that hype that those motivators are shoveling out to people that are starving for recognition and equality. In other words, the black community's in a place where we've been downtrodden and been made slaves and so forth. And even as we go forth in today's society, it seems like everything is holding us down and holding us back. And we've got some people out there that are motivational speakers, including preachers, that are telling us we should stand up, straighten our backs out, and get out here and don't take no crap from anybody and move forward, cause so we can turn ourselves around and be the black men that we think we ought to be and so forth. And so therefore, if somebody comes along and tells us that we need to slow down or something like that, we don't want to hear it. Well, you see, that's the situation that the black community finds itself in today. Back to the tract here. It says, the thing is, when you become desperate, you will accept and do things that you would not normally do or that you would reject. A person that is starving to death will accept garbage, roadkill, or worse, just to get rid of that hunger. They will do whatever it takes. Ever seen an animal in pain? Even some of the most docile animals will turn extremely vicious when suffering. Another thing is, what most animals in the wild will do to protect their young. They will even sacrifice their own lives for them. Well, even though we are not animals and are far more intelligent than them, most of us, in a lot of instances, tend to think and behave like them. I have seen people in my community that call themselves Christians completely abandon the principles that Christ has given us to follow for the misguided actions to attain what God has promised. Just because God promised you wealth and prosperity doesn't mean that gambling, turning to crime, or other things that are proven to leave most people in financial ruin are the way to go. You seek a higher position in the company you work for, or maybe even a political office, and you are willing to lie, cheat, and even do some type of harm to those that you are competing with just so you can get ahead. In the church, you seek to be a deacon, pastor, or bishop, so you go about doing deceitful things to achieve that goal. That person you feel you want to spend the rest of your life with, and you decide to go all out to get them, may not be the right person for you in God's plan for your life. But you pursue them anyway, and you get married. Now you're catching all types of hell, and you don't know which way to turn. There is nothing wrong with wanting to better yourself. However, doing so when you are running afoul of God or Christ's will puts you in at odds with them, and you can either stop what you are doing or keep going until you meet destruction. Even in the most sacred of institutions, the church, we find people vying for elevations to positions which, at first, seem to be of no consequence, but can destroy the person and eternally damn their soul. Did you know that in spite of equal opportunity for women in the workplace and society, that is not the way it goes in the church? The church is governed by God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit, and not by the Constitution or any of the other legal or sociological whims of mankind. Women as pastors and bishops are totally out of line in the church. Yet women protested and fought for equal opportunity in church offices. In order to conserve space, I will refer you to these scriptures. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verses 1 through 5 describes the qualifications of men for the office of bishops. Now, naturally, this also includes pastors, because pastors have to get elevated to the position of bishop. So they have to have had that goal, that condition from the offset. Now, when it comes to women pastors and bishops, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 15 eliminates that position being available to them. Read it. Now, the only positions that they should have is in educating the younger women how to be the types of wives and mothers that God says they should be. You can find that in Titus chapter number 2, verses 3-5. Anything other than this, they are going down the path with the angel of the Lord, which is standing there with his sword to destroy them. The reason is that their actions are perverse to him, just like Balaam's actions were. I am not going to address active homosexuals and lesbians in these offices because that is an abomination. And any officials in the church that put a stamp of approval on this debauchery is themselves in danger of ending up with them in hell. Now notice, I said active. That means they are unrepentant. There are former homosexuals and lesbians in the church that God can use to deliver his message on salvation. But even in this case, only males should be in ministerial offices, and only if they are called by God. Pursue your goals in life, but remember this: if something appears to be standing in the way of your getting there, it would be of great benefit to you to seek God about it first before you seek others' opinion. In other words, seeking these motivational speakers and sociologists and who all ever else might have a point of view. God knows what he's doing, and the sooner you find out what he's doing and turn to him for guidance, then you will be on the right track and be able to achieve the goals that you are seeking. Because, you know, after all, God does say, if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all the things that you might want or need first, not want, but things that you need first, will be added unto you. But like I said, seeking God's will and purpose first. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, closing out this message once again by saying, may God bless you and your families real good. Good day.